Borjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios on the right side of the orange curtain. 800-222-5222 is the phone number to reach us. Also, my email, sam@samnation.com. You know, I am starting to lose my mind a little bit over this narrative that has been out since Charlottesville. I describe it as the disavowal narrative. You're starting to see this first from the media, but now you're seeing it from inside the Trump camp. You're seeing people who are openly going along with this absurd conclusion that Trump has not disavowed racists, bigots, hate groups, and the like. All the while, by the way, the left is only now, did you see what just happened? Is only now beginning to wrap their heads around what Antifa's doing with the violence that is out there by these so-called anti-fascist groups. These groups that have been, and I'll explain all this, but these are groups that have for months and months been terrorizing innocent people, attacking free speech. You saw the news story yesterday. I think there's some kind of a mealy-mouthed condemnation that finally came from Nancy Pelosi. There was an article 2 days ago in the Washington Post, which is a very liberal anti-Trump newspaper, finally condemning the Antifa violence that occurred in Berkeley over the weekend. But it is a very interesting story, because why is Trump not going far enough to disavow violent racists? And then it's okay for the left to not only not disavow, but to actually make excuses for these violent thugs that are out there beating up, and in many cases, they're not just beating up Klan members, okay? That's the big misnomer here. They're out there beating up on guys wearing Trump hats. So here's this has been going on for 8 months, over 8 months. If you go through the timeline, all the way back in January, inauguration, the Antifa riots, they went, do you know they torched that one guy? Poor guy scrapes together his life savings. He buys a limo, parks it there. He's hoping to pick up some business during the inauguration. They torch it. He's an immigrant. They burned his car to the ground. Threw bricks at officers in Seattle, Portland. They attacked police officers at the club. They're very anti-police, anti-authoritarian, anti-private property. They're leftist goon thugs. That's what they are. In February, there was another attack. Molotov cocktails were thrown. This is like Venezuela. And these groups have their roots in anarchist movements and that type of thing. And this is what Trump meant when he said there's bad actors and violence on both sides. So here, let's start here, because if you are listening to this and you think, well, no, I agree. When Tillerson got up there, when Rex Tillerson said, well, I don't, the president speaks for himself. And when Gary Cohn, the top economic advisor to President Trump, gets up and says, you know, I think I'm going to quit because, you know, he can and must do more to denounce racism and bigotry in America. We did a compilation of Trump talking about this going. This is going back to the early stages of the campaign. This is a 2-year period compilation of Trump disavowing racism. Listen to this.
What do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined, a bigot, a racist. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
I've rejected the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. From the time I'm 5 years old, I rejected them.
I'm saying to myself, how many times do I have to continue to disavow people? CNN was at the major news conference, and they heard me very easily disavow David Duke.
I totally disavow
the Ku Klux Klan. I totally disavow David Duke. This is, you're probably about the 18th person that's asked me the question. When I put out that I reject KKK and David Duke, nobody picks it up. You know why they don't? Because they don't want to pick it up. How many times do I have to reject or disavow?
What do you think of white supremacists, by the way?
I don't like any group of hate. Hate groups are not for me. But I've said this before. The press hates me to say it. They just don't want to pick it up.
And that's exactly right. The press doesn't want to pick it up because it doesn't fit their narrative. Trump wasn't supposed to happen. Let's start with that. Trump was never supposed to happen. The anointed heir to the great Barry Obama was who? It was Hillary. Hillary was supposed to steal this thing, run away with the football, and never look back. The fact that the great orange man himself is in the White House is an enormous thorn in the side of leftists everywhere. And I would even argue any establishment persons. So they're looking at, they want any narrative they can to destabilize him. Now, he's winning on the economy. You see the news today. GDP is up. Jobs are up. I mean, by every economic measure, our country is succeeding. And it's succeeding because you've got a guy at the top who understands that less regulation, a better tax rate, better tax rates, better tax rules, and in general, creating a marketplace, creating an environment where businesses will want to compete and succeed in is good. And even though Congress isn't going along with him, the mere hope that this guy can get some of his agenda through is already stimulating the economy. So they can't fight that narrative. Hell, he's even doing a pretty dang good job on Hurricane Harvey. Can't get any bad marks there. So they keep coming back to this. But the problem that I have with it is that there's a tremendous hypocrisy from these people that are all standing up there banging their pots and pans and saying that Trump needs to disavow, disavow, disavow. Because they haven't done it with their own hate group. What he said at the end of that clip, I disavow all hate groups. You can't, that's the truth. That's who we are as Americans. That is America. It doesn't matter who you hate. It's not... Yeah, well, this is, did you see Chris Cuomo today? Chris Cuomo, he's a top guy at CNN. He's the son of Mario Cuomo, who was a big time Democrat, governor of the state of New York. Chris Cuomo goes, let's see, he posts this up. Oh, no, this was a few days ago. Aha, here I got it. Let's not forget, and then it has an image of a beach landing. I think it's in Normandy. And this is the meme. You know what a meme is? A little photo, and then there's some funny little title put on it. And it says, so it's Allied soldiers landing presumably at Normandy, the big D-Day invasion, and the historical significance, of course, is storming Fortress Europe. And this was the first step to conquering Hitler and the Axis powers. So at the top of this little image, it says anti-fascists disrupting a large gathering of white supremacists. What's the implication there? This isn't 8 months ago. This is not even 8 days ago. What's the implication? Well, it's that Antifa, The black, you know, hooded, masked thugs that are going around terrorizing people, that they're the good guys, that they're like, this is, you know, if your grandfather fought in World War II, this, you probably should never turn on CNN again. Because they have people like Chris Cuomo that actually believe that the greatest generation that ever lived that fought in World War II are somehow comparable to the Antifa thugs that go around beating up women in parks just because they're wearing Trump shirts. That is where this argument has gone. And if you think it's this tweet here is just a kind of an errant, you know, deal, have a look here at, listen to this. There's a, we've got a CNN compilation. This is Don Lemon, Sarah Sidner. There's a Cornell professor, Michael Dyson, and Anna Navarro, the fake GOP commentator, all talking about Antifa on CNN, defending it. Listen to this.
Antifa or Antifa, however you want to pronounce it, calling them the alt-left. Well, that group protests fascism. So they were there protesting fascism. I'm not saying that that group, all of their tactics were right, but they were there protesting hate in America.
Their idea is, look, nonviolence hasn't worked, and we are going to try to stop this.
The people that we claim, Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement and so on, are interested in preserving the fabric of America.
You can't say that this is both sides of violence. What we saw was white supremacists, and then what we saw were some brave people risking their lives and putting themselves in between white supremacists and that, you know, and what they were doing.
See, the ends justify the means. The ends are that you have people speaking hateful words. And so whatever means necessary must be taken to stop it. That's the argument that they're making. And these same people are screaming and shouting at Trump that he hasn't gone far enough, are going into shrill histrionics that Trump is somehow going soft on bigotry and racism, going back to his original statement after Charlottesville. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America. That is what Trump said. Now, other part of this lie is the whole question of, you know, the both sides. There's no such thing as, but the rally, nobody's people have moved on from Charlottesville. Let's remind ourselves of something. There were a lot of Klan members and white supremacists and just hate mongering people there. But it was a Unite the Right rally, and it was the way it was advertised wasn't exactly clear. And there were a significant number of Trump people, just people that showed up in Trump hats, were standing around, and Antifa attacked them. It wasn't just Antifa attacking, you know, people wearing Klan, you know, Klan outfits. And this is what happened here in Laguna. Remember, we talked about right when it happened, we talked about the black Trump supporter who was attacked down here in Orange County. And he's actually spoken to the media. His name is R.C. Maxwell, and he makes a great point about what happened to him. He's talking about getting attacked here, and the kind of notice, the kind of, well, attention from the media that he would have gotten had some facts been different. Listen to this.
I went over to the left side to see if I can engage them with dialogue, and I was instantly encircled by the so-called anti-fascist. If the optics were completely different and I was a Black Lives Matter supporter and I was attacked on the Trump side of a protest, I would be spotlight on CNN right now.
That's exactly right. So they don't want to talk about it. Let's look at this for what it is. Ironically, Trump may be absolutely right. Both sides are wrong. And what we say here, I've always made a big point of this, is free speech above everything. It's the most important thing. There's a reason for why the First Amendment is the First Amendment. It was that important to our founders to get our Bill of Rights correct and to start it with the most important principle that should belong in a Bill of Rights, which is our right to speak freely. The greatest irony of this all is that Antifa is going. Did you see what happened in Berkeley? I think that park is called Martin Luther King Park, where Antifa was attacking peaceful Trump protesters. Martin Luther King, who led in one of the greatest eras of change in our country through peaceful protest. We have accomplished great things in this country through peaceful protest. And it's because we have a First Amendment, because we're free to speak, and because It has been and ought to remain an expectation that when we speak in public, that we don't get hit and attacked. And that right to safety is yours, regardless of your skin color, who you are, and even what horribly stupid or despicable thing you say. Unfortunately, that's the way it has to be. So there's a political twist to this. So what, for example, Tillerson, why are these people inside the Trump administration opposing Trump openly? What's going to happen to them? I have some good ideas on this. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. Yeah, people on the right are all over Twitter and all over the various networks, and they're calling for Tillerson's head, and they're saying that that Gary Cohn ought to walk the plank. You know why they're putting these statements out that the president ought to do more, should do more, and the president only speaks for himself. Because, okay, you got to understand something. You got to get into the minds of these guys. You know where Gary Cohn comes from? Goldman Sachs. Right? He's a big bank, big Goldman Sachs. Okay, and Rex Tillerson, he was the CEO of Exxon. But before that, a longtime company man. These are two guys that are deep embeds of corporate America. And I can tell you one thing about corporate America. Corporate America does not like controversy. These are two, not disparaging anybody that is over 35. But these are two old dogs. And you're not going to teach them any new tricks. They're not swashbuckling pirates. These are company men. If you have pirates, these guys are from the Navy. And what all you conservatives that are having crapping bricks over there, you got to understand that this is how they're programmed. They're programmed to them, Trump is a walking, he's like a Tasmanian devil of risks of just who knows what he's going to say next. But that's what people love about him. That's what will make him successful. He's a disruptor. These guys are not into disruption. They have a share price. They have a stock price to worry about. They don't like disruption. But you know what? I don't know about Gary Cohn, but as far as Tillerson, maybe that's who you want to be your nation's top diplomat. If you're Trump and you're a disruptor, maybe you kind of need a corporate guy who's a little more risk adverse. And who's good at smoothing things over after you've gone through with the plow and screwed everything up. And I don't know if it's by design. Who knows? But it might actually be a team that when it comes to foreign policy with Tillerson that might work. Trump can run into the room, yell and scream at Mexico and say, "You mother, you know what? And I'm going to, that's it. You guys, if that wall, if I don't have 14 Brinks trucks pull up, to Nacogdoches, Texas by nightfall, we're done." And Tillerson can come back in and he can smooth things over. And in that sense, Tillerson signaling his disapproval doesn't play out in a bad way. I'll add one more thing to it. I think there's a lot of discipline that's coming in through General Kelly in the White House. And I don't think that Tillerson or Gary Cohn are exempt from it. I don't think that the criticism, I don't think that there's some special rules for Tillerson or for Cohn. I don't see that. And in that sense, I think there's a chance that it could well be orchestrated. But that's the political behind the scenes of it. And you've heard it. You've heard the people, you've heard people criticize. And I get it. I think fundamentally, if it's not part of a strategy, what these guys are doing, they're reacting exactly in the way that they have been trained their entire professional lives to react. It's not the way I think. It's certainly not the way Trump thinks. I'm a disruptor myself. I mean, I'm somebody who likes to come in and shoot from the cuff and get things done. I don't mind breaking some eggs to make the omelet. But these are guys that like to play it safe, and they're not about to start shaking things up. So you know, again, you want to understand some of the backstory, and you got to understand where people are coming from. And in this administration, more than just about any time, any place I can remember, you've got people whose experience, these cabinet members, their experience is vastly different from Trump's, vastly different. And having that difference there, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, is not a bad thing for the country. All right, we got John Wolfe up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky back after this.
Talk radio, talk radio.
790 KABC.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming to you from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain, 1-800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, here we are, bottom of the hour. A quick hurricane update. Things are looking a little bit better in Texas. Of course, now it's a grim recovery effort underway. And as the water recedes in certain areas, this is unfortunately the very sad time where you begin to find victims. And the true extent of the damage is discovered. There are some initial estimates now about how much money it's going to take to fix it. And it's, what is it? I mean, it's somewhere upwards of $90 billion. This is funny money. I mean, we don't even understand what that number really means. But it's still going to take a time to figure all that out. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, mentioned today at a press conference that it seems that the disaster, the Harvey, is a bigger hit, a bigger economic hit than even Katrina. And one thing to consider, I mentioned a little bit describing the area of Houston to you before, is it's a major metropolitan area. It's a bigger city than New Orleans. And there's more expensive infrastructure there in general. Again, if you just add up all the pieces. And so, the prospect of there being greater dollar for dollar damage is higher. So we'll see how that all comes together. But all this has reminded me of an interesting story. I remember earlier this year, I met with some people who were from Florida, and they had lived through Hurricane Andrew, and he described to me the story of going. The guy I was talking to, his sister lived in a house that was directly in the path of the hurricane. And after the hurricane went through, which is basically what's happening now, people are finally able to get out and see the affected areas. This guy described to me that he had gone into a car with his dad. They got into the pickup truck and they went to their sister's house, to his sister's house, the daughter's house. And the house is gone. You know, we here in California, we can't even picture this. The house is gone. And the only place, the only part of the house that was intact for some whatever reason was a portion of the counter in the kitchen that included the kitchen sink. So they think that his sister and man's daughter, that this woman's gone. And they pull up to the house and they just start shouting out her name. It's an instinctive thing. And all of a sudden the cabinet just opens up under the kitchen sink and she gets out. She literally hid in the one spot in the house that didn't disappear. And this man was so affected by this. I'll tell you, this part of the story I think is interesting, too. He's so affected by what happened that he went on to be a fairly successful, prominent guy. And he goes to build himself a house in Miami. And so you know what he did? He has he takes great pride in this, but he has a poured in place concrete roof. He goes, his house can withstand a category 4 storm. I don't know how they figured that out. But this is, people are that effect. I mean, you live through one of these things and it is an event that will shape you, that forms you. And we complain about our earthquakes and, you know, we have them happen. And we will certainly have a big earthquake here sooner than later. But these hurricanes, they come through a lot more often than our big earthquakes, and they are devastating. They are absolutely devastating. And so people then go and try to, you know, they try to build against it. But Mother Nature, guys, let me tell you, Mother Nature is powerful. And you're in the path of one of these things, and you can do. But can you imagine that? You go to your sister's house, and there's one little spot in the place that is still intact. She comes out alive. We're going to hear more about those kind of stories, too, as the days unfold. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio
790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Rogowski. What do you do if you get hurt by one of those idiots out there on the road doing stupid stuff, basically doing anything except driving their car safely? Well, if they hit you, if they hurt you, what you don't want to do is talk to their insurance company. Just don't even talk. Don't talk to anybody except make one very important call, and that is to attorney Sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust here on the program to take care of you, our listeners. We want you taken care of. I don't want you getting, you know, messed up by some insurance company that's just looking out for its bottom line. No, you call Sweet James, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, because Sweet James can get you the results that you need. He knows what to do. He knows how to present your case. He knows who to call. He's got it all figured out, and you don't want to go into that blind. Have him take you through it. Have him help you out. 800-881-2021 or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Nation back live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Let me say this. You saw that Chris Cuomo, that I shared that Chris Cuomo tweet with you earlier. The meme that he shared. This is one of those iconic photographs taken of the Normandy Beach invasion. And you have Allied soldiers basically wading through water. So many brave men died that day. But this, of course, was the beginning of the taking of Fortress Europe. So this was the first step in defeating Adolf Hitler, if you will, in our campaign to win the war. And the meme here that Chris Cuomo from CNN, the big Democrat guy at CNN, anti-fascists disrupting a large gathering of white supremacists, likening our heroes from World War II to the Antifa movement, to these, you know, masked protesters are going around beating people up. So you remember that rally that happened, it was a rally. It was a peaceful protest over the weekend in Berkeley, up in Berkeley. And some Trump protesters went out there, you know, show of support, whatever. They had some signs and they were wearing their red hats and T-shirts. And then lo and behold, the Antifa people showed up and started to beat them senseless. It's all on tape and it's brutal. Well, anyway, finally, the Berkeley police showed up and they hauled away one of the protesters who probably a school teacher looking at her. I don't know. I mean, it's probably like from an, I don't know. She's, or a tree hugger. She's one of, she looks very earthy. I'm going to put it that way. And she is absolutely distraught as she's getting arrested. She, by the way, was throwing bricks at police. So have a listen to what she's distraught over. See if you can make this out.
You see her
I need my service! My mom! I need my service animal. This, oh, let me tell you, really, Chris Cuomo, you're comparing the heroes of the Second World War, the greatest generation, you're comparing them to this? Remember that guy who anonymously, who now he ended up being a professor from Diablo Community College, and he took out a U-line bike lock as two people are shouting at each other in a protest, and he jumps out, he's masked, and he hits a guy, clobbers him over the head, gives him a concussion, blood everywhere. Yeah, U-lock, the bike lock type, you know, just whacks him over the head. It's like a hammer. You think that my grandfather's generation, you're really? That's what you have in your mind as Antifa is like storming the beaches of Normandy? You know, this is my exact point. I'll get to this here. Don't go anywhere, because all of this means something relative to where kind of this political moment is traveling to. And I don't want you to miss this. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So here's what we have here. We have an establishment class. We've got these libs in the media, mainstream media. We have these libs in Congress and in other parts of the government. And they are like Chris Cuomo here with his ridiculous meme that likens brave soldiers of World War II, allied soldiers of World War II, and their fight against Nazis in Germany to what Antifa is doing, beating up Trump protesters. This is a problem not for Trump. Right now, in this moment, the media has you believing that Trump is the odd man out, that Trump is the guy who needs to do more and apologize more and say more, and that he's the one who screwed up Charlottesville, and that he is in the weakened position. But you listen to this program and you know that things are not always as they seem. Trump is right on this one. Violence on both sides is wrong. And like I said yesterday in talking about that Davis guy who's converting Klansmen and is personally responsible for stealing about 200 members from that little organization. What did I say yesterday? Truth prevails. It does. In the long run, it does. And if the Democrats want to have this Antifa thing hang on them, they can. I mean, if they want to, and they, you heard all those commentators sticking up for Antifa. Well, I mean, you heard what they said. I mean, look, these guys, they're protesting fascism. Because in their minds, they have taken Trump to that level. They've bought their own nonsense. It's very typical, by the way, for the left to call all Republicans that they disagree with Nazis and fascists. That's normal. That is a play that has been going on since the beginning of time. What fascinates me today in 2017, here on Wednesday night, what fascinates me, I think they're buying it. I think they've bought it. And you know that, you know, when your mom tells you can't buy your own, you don't buy your own BS. When you've bought your own nonsense, that's when you're up a creek, no paddle. If they want traction in 2018, next year in the midterms, if they want traction in 2020 to win back the White House, they need to understand what is really going on. And there is nothing more alienating to Americans. Not saying people, you know, who live in the western regions of LA County. I'm talking about real Americans. if you're comparing these Antifa left-wing snot-nosed thugs to great American heroes. You've lost your flipping mind. And guess who else you're losing? You're losing America. Okay? That's the long and the short of it. So I'm starting to get desperately humored by this. You should be too. Understand that every time you hear them shouting about Trump, you know, needing to disavow this and that, as this story progresses, as Antifa becomes emboldened and continues to do their thing, it is going to be the death knell of the Democratic Party. And to the extent that the GOP establishment plays along with the Democrats' nonsense because they hate Trump or for whatever reason, because they're wimps, it will become the end of the GOP as well. Be like Tim Allen, right? It would be Donald Trump, last man standing. Only unlike Tim Allen, his show won't get canceled. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Talk to you then. We'll be right back.